Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Email her on refilwem@702.co.za.
So, reading through this week's newspapers, I saw this headline and this amazing black and white picture that really pulled me back and said, hang on, do not turn that page. Let's take a further look at this. Interesting development. We have the grandson of the co-founder of South Africa's very first Black Firearms Association donating the family archive to the Trevor Huddleston Memorial Center in Sophiatown. Such an interesting aspect of our history, because of course, when I think our history, we don't often talk, you know, Black Firearms Associations in South Africa. It's the furthest thing from my mind, at least, that, you know, we own guns, first of all. I can't relate to gun ownership or the need for it, but the fact that there was a Black Firearms Association was really fascinating. But the man behind that organization is someone to be celebrated, affectionately called Sergeant Lowe in his community in Bosmont in Sophiatown. He really was, you know, a standout individual, a pillar of his community back in the day, and I'm really keen to find out more about Sergeant Lowe from his grandson, Angelo Lowe, who's a plastics lead for Greenpeace Africa, as well as an award-winning activist and documentarian. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us, Angelo. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hello, Rifi. Good morning to all of your listeners.
Oh, I'm so glad that I came across this article. If you could just establish for us who your grandfather was. Who was this man who established the very first Black Firearms Association in South Africa?
So, in his earlier life, my grandfather actually worked at a boot factory. And when my family was relocated to Bosmont as part of the forced removals, I think there was like a surge in gangsterism within the area, within the sort of Sophiatown, Westbury area.
Yeah.
And I think he just felt compelled to join the police force and to really do something about it. So my grandfather and a school teacher who is called, I think his name is Edwin Augustus, they joined the police force, and the community really collaborated with the both of them to try and curb gangsterism when it had reached its height in the 1970s.
Mm.
And the two of them co-founded, well, not just them, but the co-founding members of the Alpha Shooting Club. They started to try and, like, teach people gun safety, teach people how to shoot properly and how to be, just for the sake of trying to create a safer community.
Yeah. I understand, Angelo, that, you know, when you were growing up and when your cousins attended school in Bosmont, any time there was, you know, a ruckus in the classroom or kids were misbehaving, they'd always be sort of censured with threats that I'm going to call Sergeant Lowe. You're going to get into trouble. We're going to call the Lone Ranger. But, you know, it sounds as though your grandfather's presence almost took on sort of mythical proportions within the community. How is he remembered in the family? And you know, why? What was it that endeared him to so many people?
You know, when we were growing up, you know, and a lot of my cousins' teachers would say that to them. They would threaten to call my grandfather when the kids were misbehaving. But I don't think anybody really understood what it was that he meant to the community, because, you know, we were kind of far removed from that, and the community remembered him sort of in his heyday.
Mm.
But what he stood in terms of our family structure was, this was always a man that we could rely on. This was a man who would step up to any occasion. If one of us was stranded, he would be the one coming to pick us up at any hour of the morning. And so he was a very responsible person. I always remember being able to reach out to my grandfather, whether it was a 5 rand that I needed or if I really found myself in a situation, I could always depend on him. And he was like that for all of us. You know, his name is Edward and it means guardian. And I think that was exactly what his spirit was like. He really protected us as a family. And then when he passed away, we learned and just how he was a pillar of hope for the community itself.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you mentioned his passing. After his passing, you sorted through his belongings and you discovered a collection of newspaper clippings and just a documentation of his crusade to clean up the gangsterism issue or gangsterism within the community. The decision, you know, first of all, tell us what else you found by way of his archive collection or by way of his collections in his archive. But also the decision to then donate and hand this all over to the Trevor Huddleston Memorial Center in Sophiatown. How did that come about?
You know, I think it's about 20 years that he's been gone. And so the family has had the, you know, these newspaper clippings. And I just thought that instead of letting it, you know, kind of wither away, to really try and digitize it and then also print it out for the Trevor Huddleston Memorial Center, because it is a part of Sophiatown history.
Mm.
He was based at the Sophiatown Police Station at the time, was called the Newlands Police Station. But I think what we could take from those articles was just like the approach of the way that police used to actually work with the community before. I mean, these days we have conversations around police brutality.
Yeah.
People are scared of the police. You played a voice note just before this where somebody is trying to avoid...
Yes, exactly. Avoid traffic cops.
Because we don't trust the police anymore. And we don't have any reason to trust the police when we look at cases like Nathaniel Julie's.
Mm.
I think what we need to start to interrogate as a society is like the criteria of what it means to become a police, or what is motivating somebody to join the police force. Are they joining because they genuinely care about the community, or are they joining for an easy paycheck? And I hope that could inspire the conversation around, you know, policing in South Africa.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, you've mentioned, you know, the case of Nathaniel Julies and police brutality. You know, I guess what I like about all of this is that you've taken your family history and you've created a moment, right? You've created an opportunity to have very, very important conversations. When it comes to what we need to further explore, yes, about around policing, but also just civic duty and civic action, what do you think are the further conversations we need to start having as South Africans? Because quite often we look at what authorities, people in authority, positions of authority do or don't do, but it all always feels as though we've forgotten that we have agency as well as individuals.
Yes, I think so. And I think that a lot of the time we do forget the sort of democratic measures. And so having formal conversations and community conversations, I'm having conversations at the moment with the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation. And we're hoping together with the Sophiatown Museum to facilitate a number of community discussions, one being about policing and how to deal with that issue, because it's one that comes up every couple of months, especially now in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then another conversation that we do want to have is like, what is driving this resurgence of gangsterism within Westbury? Because there's starting to be a little bit more of gang-related activity since lockdown, and I think it's also just because of the fact that people are finding themselves in unemployment. And so instead of looking at an issue at a very superficial level, we need to be able to talk within communities to really decipher what the root cause of things are, and then to deal with the root causes, as opposed to, you know, like, just having these superficial approaches that are not going to make much of a difference and are going to drive people who are already vulnerable into a further state of vulnerability.
Yeah, so much work to do. I really liked and appreciated the fact that you said, you know, heroes were our fathers, our neighbors, and our friends. And I guess ultimately what you're saying is we need to be the heroes of our own stories. We need to be the heroes of our own narrative. And it's all about agency and taking ourselves seriously once again.
Yes, 100%. And nobody is going to understand the changes that you require in your community and the things that you need for your own safety except for yourself. And so you do need to be vocal in instances where you are able to speak. And then also, it's not just about, you know, verbalizing things, but then coming up with action plans, coming up with strategies of how to combat these things.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate you taking the time out. That's Angela Lowe, who is an award-winning activist and documentarian. And we're talking a bit of history around the Bosmont community there, the Westbury community.